Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. I'm on spring break, so yeah, I'm pretty stoked about this Friday. Spring break is upon us here in the great state of Michigan. We've had snow this week. I mean, isn't that how you want to go into your spring break? Waking up. I don't know. I woke up one morning this week to at least an inch and a half of snow on the ground. And on my way to school, I was driving through a whiteout. Literally, it was a blizzard. But that's okay because we're on spring break. And it's all right. We're just going to take a few days off. We're going to relax. We're going to enjoy ourselves. But we're not going to take a break from saving America. That's for sure. We're going to rest and we're going to relax. But can I say it this way, that we just don't take breaks from trying to save the country? You can still rest without taking a break, I think. I'm going to try it. I'm going to see how it goes. I'm going to rest for a few days, but I'm going to still be at it. Still be out here trying to save the country. I mean, I'll still be here. Just because I'm on spring break doesn't mean I don't leave here. I'll still be here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. And I look forward to you joining me here because we have a job to do. We do. We have a job to get out there and save the country. And I've got to ask you this question. Are we winning? Are we winning? I don't know that I know the answer to that. I mean, there are days I feel like we are. And I'll say it here. Yes, we're winning. And the reason that on those days I feel like we're winning, the reason is it's not just a feeling. There are statistical numbers. There are statistical proofs. There's evidence that I believe we are winning. One of the metrics that I'm looking at is the number. I guess, how can I say it this way? It's the percentage of unenrollment from public schools. That to me is a big metric, because it tells me that parents are awake, that their eyes are opening and are open. And, you know, you can look and you can find elementary schools, because these are the schools where the biggest population exodus is happening. When I look at these numbers and I see elementary schools all over the country, 20% unenrollment, 25%, 30, 35, 40, 45, upwards of 60, in some cases, 80%. This, to me, describes that we are winning as a country because the eyes of parents are awake. But then, you know, you get on the ground and you talk to people. And then you start second guessing yourself. Are we winning? Are we actually winning? This week, I was listening to Pulse with Malcolm and McCullough. I got to tell you, I love it. I love to listen to those two banter. And this week they went, I mean, for like 45 minutes without taking a break. I'm like, Malcolm, when are you going to take a break here? I mean, there's some sponsors out there wanting to know what's going on. No, I'm just kidding. The conversation was riveting. They were discussing this case that's before the Supreme Court, this government control over free speech and the big social media companies. And they're talking about this case, but the conversation itself was fascinating, because you have two men that are really at the top of their field. Malcolm and McCullough, and they're just bantering back and forth. But Malcolm said something. He said that his daughter had a birthday this past week, and she was home from college, and there were some friends over. And Malcolm said, I do most of my speaking in public, and then private, I just kind of keep it toned down, which, that's for those of us that are behind a mic, that's not a bad philosophy. But as he's, trying to keep his own thoughts inward, he's listening to the conversation that's happening in the room from young people, college age, And I don't remember exactly what he said, what his exact words were. So Malcolm, I apologize if I'm misquoting you, but he said something to the effect of, after listening to these conversations, I don't know. I'm concerned and I'm wondering. I don't know that we're winning. And I started thinking about that. And I, listened to conversations here at Waterbrook. And just the other day, I'm listening to a couple of high school students. And this one student in particular was talking about, Trump and Biden and how Biden's not a very good leader in the eyes of this particular student, but Trump's just a loudmouth and all he does is just yell and holler. And the student said, I don't know that we want a president like that. Okay. I mean, none of those. Neither of those assessments of the two men are wrong. Internally, though, I'm thinking, okay, I get it. One is, some people would say he's a loudmouth and he doesn't have a personality style that's suited to be a leader. I've heard people say that. He's arrogant. He's this, he's that. He's just, oh, I can't put up with his arrogance anymore. Or I can't put up with this. He's just so mean. We need somebody who, which, okay. But the way I see it is you have one choice and the person is not ethical. The person is not trustworthy. The person is not interested in following the rule of law, as we have witnessed at the border. The person is not even interested in following constitutional order. This person will try to get away with and push the limits and the boundaries to whatever extent he can. And I'm talking about Biden. And the other person, Trump, who, okay, he might come across as arrogant or a loudmouth or a hothead or whatever. But he's ethical. He loves the country. He believes in the rule of law. They have tried to dig up stuff on this man 6 ways to Sunday, and what have they come up with? Made up fabrications. And it's been a litany of made up fabrications for years. But I just listened to the kids talk about it, and it just makes my head spin. And I'm wondering, okay, are they listening to their parents? Or are they, coming to these conclusions on their own? If they're listening to their parents, then I ask myself, I don't think we're winning. If they're coming to these conclusions on their own, then we're not losing. There's hope because, we can maybe direct and steer the ship a little bit. So when you're on the ground and you're listening to conversations, I think we can leave perhaps certain conversations thinking, oh man, we're in trouble. As a country, we are just, oh, we're in hot water. Where it's it, it's over. I mean, there's no hope for the future. I think there is potential for that. But there's also conversations happening that I have with young people here in the building. And I think, oh yeah, there is hope. There is absolute hope. We are going to turn this thing around. We're going to save the ship from sinking. Let's get in there. Let's go. Come on, let's go to work. My question is, how do you feel? What do you think? Are we winning? Or is this a pipe dream? I guess those are the two choices set before us. Now, this past week, I've been spending a little bit of time on DEI, been spending a little bit of time on the success that DeSantis and Florida has had as of late in and driving the stake through the heart of the vampire, which is DEI. And the and to me, that's success, that's victory. To me, that says, okay, there is hope. We can fight this thing. But then, I read other articles from, and I've talked about other Ridgely was the fella's name, I think, the expert who covers DEI, and Ridgely speaks about how entrenched DEI is in universities all over the country. And we know it's entrenched because they have million-dollar budgets in these diversity offices that pay for these diversity officers that allow them to not teach or not do research, but to just simply promote racism. Now, they'll tell you they're not promoting racism. They'll tell you they're making sure things are equitable, that there's equity, that there's diversity on these campuses. But we know that's a lie. We know that they are doing nothing but creating division. And so Ridgely says this is entrenched. I mean, these people aren't just going to get up and go away because they've got themselves in a position of a cash cow here. I mean, they're in this office, they don't do a lot, and they get paid a lot of money to just make sure people are racist, to make sure people are racist. That's what they get paid for, what they're out there doing. I've got to make sure there's diversity on this campus, which is to say everyone needs to be a racist. I mean, really. Okay, look, I mean, that's not what they say, obviously. But we know that's what's happening. We can tell. We can we're not dumb here. We know what the game plan is. All right, so we but then, we've got what's happening in Indiana, where Indiana's taking a playbook from Florida, a page right out of the Florida playbook, and but they're doing it differently. And they're saying the professors have to start expanding their classroom point of view. They have to allow other ideas and other arguments. They just can't shut people down, or they run the risk of losing tenure. And that I the more I think about that, the more I like it, because now you're hitting these professors where it hurts. Now that set up there in Indiana, it's going to need some tweaking, I think, because they've got the board of governors are in charge of each campus, and they decide, what is what and what. There's a lot of wiggle room and a lot of play there. There's a lot of room for interpretation. That can be good, that can be bad. I think the jury's still out on that, but I'm interested to see how that shapes out and how that unfolds. The point is that now we have a couple of states that are publicly going to battle with DEI in at the college level. The colleges that at least they can control, which are the state-run public colleges. And they're just that they're saying that's it. And they're doing it through law, that they don't want this racism being perpetuated any longer, and so they're creating laws to just be done with it. That's good news. That makes me think, all right, okay, we're winning here. There's some winning happening. Now, there is another article that just came out. This news just broke a day or two ago. Alabama has passed a law which is banning state funding of DEI at their public schools and universities. This is good news, kids. If we just keep pressing forward in this vein, red state by red state by red state, I mean, the blue states aren't going to do this. Michigan isn't going to do this, not with a Democrat-controlled House and governor. I don't foresee that happening. But if the red states will grow some, and start making laws that ban state funding of diversity, equity, and inclusion, which ban state funding of racism, then we'll start seeing some successes here. This article says that how the law here in Alabama bans state agencies local boards of education and institutions of higher education from sponsoring so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion. So it sounds to me like this isn't just higher ed, that this is K-12. And that to me is fantastic. That if Florida and Indiana have not, looked into K-12, they need to, because we need to take the beast out of the ankles. The Republican-led legislature voted on this a couple of days ago, on Tuesday, and they advanced the bill to the Senate, which the Senate passed it. So this thing becomes law in October of 2024. Under the measure, here's what it says: divisive concepts about race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin would be banned from being taught or sponsored by a state agency, local board of education, or public institution of higher education, such as public universities and colleges. So, what are these divisive concepts that they're talking about? They outline eight of them, and it includes teachings that any race, any religion, or any sex is inherently superior or inferior, or that by virtue of an individual's race, color, religion, sex, ethnicity, or national origin, the individual is inherently racist, inherently sexist, or inherently oppressive, whether consciously or subconsciously. Because this is what diversity, equity, and inclusion preaches. They preach that if you're a particular race or a particular gender or a particular sexual orientation, then you're inherently racist, or you're inherently sexist, or you're inherently oppressive, or the flip side, that you're inherently oppressed and you always have been oppressed and you always will be oppressed. There's no way around it. The only remedy, the only solution is that you be a racist right now towards those who have been perceived racist towards you. That's the only solution. The only solution is to visit a wrong with more wrong. And we know that two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs just make a bunch of other wrongs. And that's what DEI does. It perpetuates evil. It perpetuates wrong. It perpetuates racism. Doesn't end it. Doesn't stop it. It just keeps stirring the pot. We're going to keep roiling the dirty, muddy water. We want that mud to come to the surface. We're just going to roil it, stir it. And so here we have Alabama, and they're putting it down. They are taking the pot stirrer out of the pot and breaking it over their collective knee. Other divisive concepts in this law include that individuals, based on factors such as race, religion, or sex, are responsible for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race, color, religion, or sex. So this is another one of their divisive concepts. And so this is what they're putting an end to. They're putting an end to this in the classroom. That if you're part of a race that is perhaps responsible for actions committed in the past by other members, well, you can't be accountable for that now. Okay, if you're a white person, and white people, I shouldn't just say white people, white Democrats perpetuated slavery in the past, that doesn't mean that you should be held responsible for that here now in the present or tomorrow in the future. But it doesn't really apply to me because I'm not a white Democrat. I mean, we need to make that distinction. It was the white Democrats that were the racists. And it was the white Democrats that wanted to perpetuate racism. They wanted to keep the slave trade going. It was the white Democrats that started the Ku Klux Klan. We're just going to call it like it is. It's history. It is factual, actual history. Factual, actual history. I rhymed. I didn't even mean to. And that's just what we deliver here. So that doesn't even apply to me. I'm white, but I'm not a Democrat. Never have been, never will be. But even if you are a Democrat, you should not be held responsible for what white Democrats did 100 years ago. But DEI says you should be held responsible, you dirty white Democrat, you. Specifically, the measure says that state agencies, local boards of education, public institutions, or higher education may not sponsor any DEI program or maintain any office, physical location, or department that promotes such programs. I love this. Absolutely love it. K-12, higher ed, other institutions. I mean, so it started with Florida. Florida got it right. Indiana put a little interesting twist on that. And then we go to Alabama, and Alabama just takes it up a notch. Alabama's like, I mean, yeah, the Florida law is good, but we're going to go K-12 and we're going to include other institutions. We're going to make this thing count. I'm happy about it. In Alabama, at least eight public colleges have a specific office dedicated to diversity and inclusion efforts. All right. And we know that that's happening all over the country. This has been documented. But we're just going to take it state by state. Furthermore, students, employees, or contractors would not be required to undergo any DEI training, orientation, or coursework that advocates or requires assent to a divisive concept. So, kids aren't going to have to, teachers, staff, nobody's going to have to go through any DEI training. All right. Those days are done, at least in Alabama. Now, of course, there's pushback. We talked about this the other day. The ACLU, they are so unhappy about this. They're fit to be tied, and they're letting people know about it. All right, I'm coming up on the break. I went a little long in segment one. It's been happening lately. We'll pick it up on the other side. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Take action today. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Don't accept joint aches and stiffness as part of aging. Doctors at Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexibility. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a gel you swallow. Get 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. I'm Dean Bowen. You are listening to America Out Loud Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. You can find us here Monday through Friday at the 2 p.m. Eastern time slot. We are happy to have you on board. All right, the question of the day is this: are we winning or are we not winning? All right, sometimes, I look at the grand scope of things and I see the number of public schools in terms of disenrollment, see that number going up. And it makes me think that as a country, we're winning. It makes me think that as a country, parents' eyes are opening, they're becoming awake, and their thought is, I got to get my child out of this school. Elementary schools all over the country, the unenrollment numbers are going through the roof. As parents, pull their kids. It's happening in middle and high school as well. And then I look and I see what's happening in some of these red states, Florida, Indiana, Alabama and what they're doing to come at DEI and what they're doing to take this divisive evil behemoth out at the knees. And I think, okay, we're winning. As a nation, as a country, we're winning. And then from time to time, you know, we'll be on the ground and we'll be having conversations with individual people. And when we have those conversations with young people, sometimes we think, oh, I don't know. I don't, maybe we're not winning. I just got done having this conversation with this young person and they're clueless. So are we winning? Now, I think in the moment, there are probably a lot of young people that are clueless, and it's because of the education they've been receiving. So when we have conversations with young people, then I think we can almost expect that the young people they're not going to have a clue. They are, the majority of them, maybe 9 out of 10, maybe 8 out of 10, maybe 7 out of 10 are going to be saying things that's going to make us scratch our head and make us think to ourselves, oh man, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. But they've been receiving this education for years. And this is the direction they've been pushed in for years. So in the immediate, when we're having these conversations in the immediate, don't be surprised, friends, if the young person you're talking to leaves you with the feeling of, oh man, we're in trouble. Don't be surprised about that. All right. It takes a little bit to turn the ship around. It's going to take us a second to turn this big aircraft carrier 180 degrees, but we are well on our way. When we look at the numbers and when we see what's happening in public schools, when we see the exodus taking place, when we look at the increase of homeschooling and private schools, and specifically classical Christian schools, the number of classical Christian schools, just physical schools, is exploding, which means that enrollment is going up. I mean, the enrollment here at Waterbrook is exploding, and it's been this way since 2020. Our numbers just, you know, we have this building here maxed out. And the reason we have it maxed out is because parents want something different. They want something more. And this is happening all over the country. So when I see that, then it makes me think we're winning. Okay. When I see what's happening, nationwide, and I see the big picture, and I see the growth here at Waterbrook, and I see the growth at other classical Christian schools, I think, all right, we're winning. But there's this dichotomy, this balance here. The other thing that makes me think we're winning is the way the ACLU is responding to this stuff. I mean, they came out with guns a-blazing at DeSantis. And they, you know, the president over there, I don't know what his name is. I forget his name. It doesn't matter. But he came out and said that Black athletes should not attend those white dominated schools in Florida, those racist schools in Florida. If you're a Black athlete and you care about your six or whatever they said, they just said, look, don't go to Florida. And DeSantis is like, I mean, people want to come to Florida. Florida is diverse just because people want to go there because people love freedom. It's not diverse because there's some diversities are sitting in a white ivory tower somewhere, you know, counting the number of students that are a particular skin tone. No, it's diverse because it's just naturally that way because people want freedom and they're going to show up. America's naturally that diverse. It's naturally the melting pot because people come here because they want freedom. They're just going to show up. People love freedom. And if all you're going to do is sit around and look at skin color, we're not diverse enough because, or look at gender or look at age or look at anything else that makes us distinct, then, you can sit around and pick things out about that all day long and complain about we're not diverse. When in fact, we should celebrate the diversity that exists and focus in on the items that unite, on the things that unite us. the things that unite us as Americans, as a people. If that were the case, and it is the case in a lot of places, but not in the ACLU, not in the office of the ACLU, it isn't. And the fact that the ACLU is screaming so loud about this, it makes me think, okay, there's some success here. They posted a statement on their official website in regard to the Alabama bill. And they said that this latest bill, which is SB 129, is intended to have a chilling effect on discourse regarding race. A chilling effect. Ooh, brr. It's so cold out here. It's chilly. It must be because of SB 129. It's having a chilly effect here in the warm state of Alabama. No. It's going to have a chilling effect on discourse regarding race, class, sexuality, and national origin. Because DEI affects all these things. It separates us by race, class, sexuality, and national origin. But the statement continues, and it seeks to characterize these discussions and accurate teachings. What? Accurate teachings? Accurate assignments and accurate trainings that also supplement them as divisive? All right. Yeah. Okay. First of all, these discussions are not accurate. Okay, we've determined that. We know the judge in California said that there is no pedagogical value. There's no educational merit to critical race theory, which is, you know, it's right in here with DEI. I mean, they're locked arm in arm. They're hand in hand. They're just, you know, skipping to the tulips together. And that judge said there's no educational value in it. And why? Why? Because it's not accurate. It's not the truth. There's nothing truthful about it. And you've got the ACLU over here, the American Civil Liberties Union over here, and the NAACP. I mean, both of these groups are screaming so loudly. Matter of fact, I misspoke. I said the ACLU was guns a-blazing against DeSantis, and they were telling black athletes to not go to Florida. No, my fault. That was the NAACP. All right. But these two groups, you know, they run together, these two. So anytime these two organizations are going to scream about what conservatives are doing, then conservatives are over the target, as they say. So here they're upset because they say that this bill is going to characterize all of these discussions and accurate teachings. I can't get over that they're accurate teachings. And they're being labeled as divisive. Well, yeah, that's the truth. They are. They're very divisive. Okay, you're lying about one aspect. They're not accurate. But you're not lying about the other aspect. They're divisive. Absolutely divisive. Their statement continues. SB 129 disrupts the work of student, staff, and faculty organizations at higher education institutions that rely on public funding from their university to develop DEI or culturally based programming. That is 100%. Whoever the genius spokesperson at the ACLU is, I mean, that is an accurate statement. We're going to give them that 100%. You better believe SB 129 disrupts the work that these, be nice, Dean, that these individuals at these higher institutions are doing to promote and develop DEI. Yeah, it disrupts it. It not only disrupts it, dear friends at the ACLU, it's destructive to it. It destroys it. And that's what we want. We want DEI destroyed. We want it leveled. We want it disposed of. We want it in the dumpster heap because it's evil. It is divisive. It's full of hatred. And we don't want it here. It doesn't have any part in this country. So we want it gone. So, all right, we're going to give you that. That's correct, ACLU. Oh, but wait, they're not done. This is not only a form of classroom censorship. It's an anti-truth bill, which curtails an education on systemic inequities, racial violence, and the historic efforts to gain civil rights and civil liberties for marginalized communities. Oh, I don't know if I can read any more of this. It's not classroom censorship. You're just getting rid of stupidity. You're getting rid of falsity. If you walk into a math class and you've got a teacher up there teaching Johnny that 2 plus 2 is 10, and you tell the teacher, you stop saying that, okay? You just be done with it. That's not the truth. I want you to teach 2 plus 2 is 4. Are you censoring that teacher? Is that does that count as censorship? Because that's what this amounts to. That's what we've got here, kids. This is it. Either we're going to tell the truth or we're not. And if we're going to say we're going to tell the truth and we're not going to lie, then the other side cannot say you're censoring the lies. Yeah, we're just telling the truth. That's what we're doing here, kids. We're gonna keep telling the truth. Ben Carson, all right, he has some things to say to the ACLU and to the NAACP. Remember when Rush would call him the NAALCP, the National Association for the Advancement of Liberal Colored People? And he was probably correct. Ben Carson has this interview that he has done with the Daily Wire. And he has some things to say. We all know who Ben Carson is. All right, he was in Trump's cabinet. He's a world-class brain surgeon. And he's a black man who understands the detriment, the evils of diversity, equity, and inclusion. He says in this interview, what we should be concentrating on is raising everybody to the appropriate standard rather than lowering the standard so that we can get or so that we can put more people in. The whole DEI argument is illogical if you are looking for excellence. And that, oh, my friends, that hits the nail on the head. They're not looking for excellence. They don't want excellence. They want stupidity. They want the country dumbed down. They want morons. That's what they want. They want morons coming out of high school. They want morons who don't have the cerebral capacity, the frontal lobe capacity to rationally and logically look at a situation. No, they want morons being reactionary, midbrain reactionary, without any true deep thought. I know it just sounds so simplistic when I say it that way, but that's the truth. That's the way it is. Yeah, he says the arguments of DEI are illogical if you're looking for excellence. But if you're not looking for excellence, Dr. Carson, they're very logical. And to these people, they're very logical because they don't want excellence. All right. I'm up against it here. We'll pick up more from Dr. Carson and a few other things here in my stack of stuff on the other side of this break. You're listening to the Dean's List on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will. The will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back. I want to dive back in here. I want to revisit these comments by Dr. Ben Carson, who clearly he's an intelligent man. Clearly, he has spent his life pursuing excellence. Dr. Ben Carson didn't arrive to the status of life that he's arrived at because of reverse racism. Because someone looked at him and said, "Hey, you're a black man, so we should probably let you into this medical school." That, you know, that wasn't the case. He got there on his merit. And he got there because his mom pushed him as a young boy. I mean, if you've read any of his books, I mean, you know his story. His mom made him go to the library in Detroit and pull out a book and read it and write a book report and submit it to her, even though she herself couldn't read. But he didn't know that because mom wanted him to pursue excellence. So when Carson says the whole DEI argument is illogical if you're looking for excellence, he knows what he's talking about. And this is what we, isn't as Americans, isn't this what we want out of our education? Don't we want kids to leave high school knowing that they pursued excellence, knowing that they went after it with everything that they had? Yes, it was tough. It was very tough. But by golly, we went after it and we pursued it. We achieved excellence. I've got an article in here that I may get to if I've got time, that the state of Washington is doing away with their bar exam because it's racist, and they're going to offer alternatives for lawyers, for potential wannabes. You no longer have to have to take the state bar in Washington. Who's pursuing excellence? Not Washington. They're not, because they're a DEI bastion. Washington and Oregon. I hope I have time to get to this article today because it's just, oh man, it's going to make your head spin. Washington and Oregon, two of the leftist states in the country, which don't pursue excellence, neither one of them have require a bar exam if you want a license in Washington. I mean, when you're going to look for a top attorney, are you going to go to Oregon? And are you going to go to Washington? Are you going to say, give me the best of the best? Give me that best law student who didn't have to take the bar exam. No, you're probably not going to do that. You're going to want to do someone who's pursuing excellence. Carson spoke about how he was being pressured at his own company for not having a certain percentage of women in higher level positions. Because in Carson's mind and in his point of view, his focus is on experience. His focus is on qualification. His focus is on merit. You should achieve a high level because of your merit, because of your abilities, not because of your gender. You don't have enough women at the top. And you need to have more women in those offices. Well, you're not diverse enough. No, you need to have the people at the top that have the skill set. Okay? My dean of academics is a lady. She's a female, Brandy Ball. But she's not in that position because she's a female. She's in that position because she's excellent, because she's fantastic, because she knows what she's doing. She's the best dean. I'd put her up against any other dean of academics in the country. She's that good. I hope she's not listening to this because, I know what she's going to say to me later. But she's not there because she's a woman, that's for sure. Because, like Ben Carson, I don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention to your gender. I don't pay attention to the color of your skin. I just don't. I would rather you be here because you have the skill set and you have the ability. And this is Carson's point of view. And he says if we're gonna stick with DEI, we're not gonna pursue excellence. Speaking about his own experience as a child, Carson said he remembered going to Chattanooga and seeing signs designating certain spaces only for white or black people. He said that while much progress has been made from those days, DEI is going to send us right back there. It's going to set back race relations. And he's 100% correct. He's not wrong about this. He said what DEI does is it takes one group and gives them an advantage over another group the same way it used to be, but only in reverse. Two wrongs don't make a right. This is what we've been saying here forever. Two wrongs don't make a right. And all it's going to do is exacerbate relationships between the races rather than improve relationships. And that's what they want. That's the intention. That's their desire. That's their goal. They want to create disunity. They don't want to unify. I mean, you heard the guy. Last week I played the clips from the education subcommittee hearing. And Burgess Owens, who chairs that subcommittee, started out by quoting a DEI expert and proponent fellow. I don't remember the guy's name, but when describing DEI, this individual said that the only remedy for past racism is anti-racism. And the only remedy, he then went on to say, the only remedy, well, he said the only remedy for racism is anti-racism. All right. So it's just racism in reverse. But then he said the only remedy for past racism is racism in the present racism. And then he said the only remedy for present racism is future racism. It's cyclical. They don't want it to go away. They're not interested in unity. They're not interested in solving the problem. They only want to exacerbate it. They only want to expand upon it. Why? But why, you ask? Oh, I think one of the answers is it pays well. I mean, look at these diversity offices. They got millions of dollars. The budget at Florida University, the Gators, I think somewhere the article said it was $5 million. That was the budget for that office for I don't know how many people. $5 million. I mean, this is a cash cow. Kids, they're making money hand over fist. So yeah, they want to keep it going. They absolutely want to keep it going. Carson said that the many companies adopting DEI programs and initiatives were not taking the long view. But instead, they're trying to earn praise and accolades from activists. He said corporate heads knew that DEI would not be conducive to excellence. They know this. But they're choosing to stick their heads in the sand like an ostrich. They're not taking the long view. All they want to do is just appease the activists. I don't want people yelling at me because I don't have enough females at the top, so I'm going to hire a lot of females. I don't want people, calling me a racist because I don't have enough, a variety of skin colors here. It is, it doesn't, well, it's not pursuing excellence. Focusing on DEI, Carson said, would distract Americans from focusing on entrepreneurship and developing new inventions. Oh, this is a key point. And I think we miss this. If all we're going to do is focus on the color of each other's skin and and the gender and any other thing that divides us. Carson's saying we're not going to then be spending our energy focusing on entrepreneurship, focusing on starting new businesses, focusing on getting the economic engine humming and running smoothly, or we're not going to be focusing on developing new inventions. No, we're going to be bogged down in this miry clay of being upset because somebody didn't meet the diversity quota when we should be inventing, exploring, being educated simply for the pure wonder of it all, just the pure awe and wonder of being educated. So Carson goes on and he says, you have to recognize that the United States of America is very unique in the sense that we developed an environment that encourages entrepreneurship and innovation. That's why 90% of the Earth's shattering inventions came out of the United States, even though there was a lot, he said, even though there was a lot of other world out there. And obviously, if we now change that environment, it's going to have a deleterious effect on who we are and our leadership. I heard a stat once that we as a country, I want to say we're 4% of the Earth's population. 4%. But yet, you know, Carson says that we've produced 90% of the Earth-shattering inventions. And I have also, you know, heard that stat in other places. I like how Ben Carson says that we have 90% of the earth-shattering inventions, even though there's a whole lot of other world out there. Listen to what David Barton has to say about this very fact.
We're only 4% of the world's population, and 4% of the world's population should produce 4% of the world's whatever. But when you measure creativity by copyrights, by patents, by inventions, by technology, by discoveries, every year, by those measurements, America, our 4%, produces more creativity, more inventions, more copyrights, more medical discoveries, more cures, more technologies than the other 96% of the world. Unbelievable what we do.
David Barton is one of our favorite historians. You know he is. We talk about him all the time. And here's why. Because he's a wealth of knowledge. We are 4% of the Earth's population, the United States of America, 4%. And Barton has an excellent point here. If we're 4% of the world's population, shouldn't we produce 4% of the world's whatever? But that's not the case. According to Ben Carson, we produce 90% of the world's whatever. And Barton goes through the list, copyright, medical inventions, just inventions, regardless of what comes in front of the word, medical, technological, scientific, I don't know, go down the list. And these inventions, the majority of them, the overwhelming majority of them, come out of America. And this is what Ben Carson is saying. This is his point, that you have to recognize that the United States of America is very unique. And the reason that we're able to produce 90%+ of the world's everything while only being 4% of the population is because we have the ability, according to Ben Carson, and I believe he's right, we have the ability to encourage entrepreneurship and innovation. And how are we able to do that? Because of freedom. Because we have the freedom to do it. We're not oppressed. There isn't a heavy hand pressing us down, telling us that we can't achieve or succeed or invent or create. None of that is happening. However, it will happen if we allow the left to change the environment. This is Ben Carson's point. He says it's going to have a deleterious effect. Deleterious means horrible. All right, it's going to be detrimental. It's going to, it's negative. it's laced with negative connotations. It's going to have an awful effect on who we are as a country. And then he says it's also going to have that same effect on our leadership if we allow these things to proceed forward unchallenged. So I started the conversation today asking the question, do you think we're winning or are we not winning? And I guess the answer is still up for grabs. I'm sure there are days that we feel like we're winning and days that we feel like we're not winning. I think ultimately we are winning. I think when we step back and we look at the grand scheme of things, we see what DeSantis continues to do in Florida. We see what they are now doing in Indiana. We see what Alabama here is now doing, following suit. We're watching this pushback, and we're watching the ACLU and the NAACP just explode with rage and anger. And that's always telling. That lets us know that whatever it is we're doing, we should keep doing it because we're over the target. We're over the mark. Based on these metrics, and based on, to me, one of the biggest metrics, and that is the evacuation from public schools, especially the elementary schools, the disenrolling that's taking place in elementary schools across the country, that might be the largest metric that says we're winning. We are. Especially if we keep our foot on the pedal, and we keep going on with this thing, full steam ahead. I think there's only good things to come. There is that there's only good things to come, but we have to stay unified. Those of us that are awake, this audience is awake. Those that listen to America Out Loud, you're awake. Those of us that are here and with it, we've got to stay focused. I think we do. I think we have to stay focused. I think we have to stay positive, and the immortal words of the actors from High School Musical, we got to get our head in the game. That's all there is to it, and keep our heads in the game. All right, that's all the time that we have today, America. I want to thank you for joining me. It was a fun day. It's been a fun week, and it's very important, friends. It's very important that you encourage your friends and family to get on the Dean's List, because we must unite to renovate the age.